That was the first part. Let's try it again, this type of life, right? Every commandment
which I command each day, you must be careful to observe, that you may learn how to multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers.
So every day this should be your mantra, should be your statement. What was your commandment that I may live, multiply, go in and possess? Every morning, when a word comes, if you don't make it yours, if you don't take it into your spirit, it can be there, but it'll have no impact. The whole thing of this season is that the word must become flesh. You must meditate it. You must know how to ponder upon it. Say, Lord, I want to live. Well, determine what living is, what kind of life it is, to sustain life, to have life, to be the one who diffuses life. Because Jesus said, the Father has life in himself, has given the Son to have life in himself, and the Son gives life to whomever he pleases. Life comes through you. So you've got to be a partaker of it, but you've got to intentionally execute it in your mind. So we're looking at the whole issue of, if every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, we have to know what the commandments are. We're looking at the characteristics of the commandments, because we want to know the commandments are the will of God, because you have to know that whatever God says, that's his will, that's his command, that's his instruction. When God speaks to us, he's bringing to us his mind. And we said that the commandment, the meaning of the word command means to constitute, to form, to enjoy, to set, to establish. So when God gives you a command, when he was talking, here it was not God speaking, it was Moses speaking to the nation of Israel, rehearsing the things that God had said to the nation. So Moses would say, now, as the appointed one, as the set man, as God's chosen one, as the one drawn out, every command I command you. So it was important who you were receiving. Because God, the nation didn't want God to speak to them directly. So they said to Moses, you go, talk to God. God will talk to you, you come talk to us. So Moses says, okay, since you gave me that privilege now, he said, every commandment which I command you, but he's not speaking in his own capacity, he's speaking as the representative of God, because these are the commands of God. He's not speaking outside of it, he's giving what God said. So every commandment that comes, the speaking of God, like today, yesterday, Wednesday, all are bringing us to a place of what? It's a command. Right? Today you are commanded through the scriptures that your sonship, your identity must not be compromised. Yeah? Not for anything. That's a good reminder. That's the instruction of the Lord in that time of adversity. In the time of what is the intent of the spirit of this age, the spirit of the devil, the spirit of evil. It is to make you clueless concerning your identity so that you can be an orphan. When you're an orphan, you are only self-aware, self-centered, self-producing. Everything is designed around self. When you're a son, it is father. Always him. He is everything to you. It is your focus. So you must know that there is an attack. Commands are coming through. We prayed on Wednesday of how you will become more committed, more faithful, how you will ask the Lord to teach you more. Those are commands. Every moment you've got to hear, Lord, what is the command for me here? Because you may not be able to apply everything, but you have to know. Because man shall not live by bread alone. So your living is dependent on word. Word, its effect, its power, its productivity is determined by how you receive it. It can be thought, suggestion, command. If it comes as command, it constitutes you, establishes you. So while everyone receives the same word, how you receive it determines the impact, outcome, productivity. You agree? Amen. So very important, because you're going to listen. Some people sit in church, the only thing they listen is to condemnation. How are you going to get life if you feel condemned? Even though there's an instruction, even though it sounds very harsh, if you are able to receive it as a command, you will bring life to you. So how do you get delivered? You don't get delivered from any issue except by command. Now, you know what's the natural inclination of human beings? They don't like anyone command. Why? You think you're better than me. So even when you come to church, when the command is issued, and sometimes it may not be nice. You're not interested in nice, if you're interested in solutions. You must work out whether you want someone to be nice to you, You want your problem solved. Most people miss the solution because of the tone in which it came, the face in which it came, the vessel in which it came. If you saw Jesus, you and I would be just like the Pharisees and Sadducees. So you're making yourself great. Who are you? You didn't go to the school of the rabbis. What are you doing here? Or you can just get your own following. Or you can just heal because there was a way you had to go. This is a season where you must discern. Perceive. What is the commandment of God? So, we've been dealing with the different aspects. The first one we dealt with last week. We dealt with the commandment is pure. Psalms 19 verse 8, it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So, we looked at how the commandment of the Lord is pure. Now, I want to give you context. Context is David is like. David is a man after God's heart. David is the first king of Israel. David is the one who defeated the bear, the lion, Goliath, and then the eight enemies in 2 Samuel chapter 8. So you're talking about a king who's experienced, a king who's a man after God's own heart, and he says that the commands are pure and lightening the eyes. David is the tabernacle that God is building today. How many of you know that's too much of evidence for you to refute it? So every command that God gives you, regardless of how difficult it is, in your eyes, in your heart, in your mind, it must be pure, clean, and life-giving. But what it will do is it will enlighten your eyes. The command will change your sight. Is that important? Of course it is. When God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, don't eat from any other tree. You can eat from all the trees except that one in the garden. How should you know he gave enlightenment to them? But when they broke the command and they listened to another voice, they got into death, which is darkness. You have to know that there are commands, not people trying to control you. God is not trying to control you. God wants you to have the best quality of life. Now, why is this important? David was king. Everyone say king.
King.
Commands are given by kings, but they first you have to receive them as a servant. David became one of the most powerful kings because he could receive the command of God as pure. Your power, your influence, your dominion is determined by how you are able to receive commandments. You okay? Let me show you. Samuel comes to his hometown, coming to his family. Samuel is the big prophet in the nation. His father tells him, go and give the sheep. David never says, ah, dad, why are you not letting me be by Samuel? David goes. That pure command summons him. When you're looking for people to recognize you, you bypass the royal calling that God can give you. When people miss you, seems like purposely. They put you in the menial place, the lowly place, the discarded place. Don't despise it. Because God, when he sets you as king, he'll summon you and he'll make everyone wait for you to come. The command is very important. If David saw his father as his equal, he would have missed a kingly instruction. You see, if you don't perceive who's giving you the command, you get used to biology, you get used to, you become familiar even with a spiritual power. Yes. Let me tell you, let me warn you, because you may be told to clean, wash the dishes, you may be told to clean, you may be told to stand on side, sit on side, you may be told to do this. And if you don't perceive the command, the instructor, the commander, you may miss the time when he will make everyone to wait for you to appear. And your rising to kingship will be common. Oh, God is intentional in commands. Don't forsake command because you spend some time now and you think, I know this person. That's the greatest mistake people do. You become familiar with the vessel and not the commander standing in the vessel. Important. So, tell a lady important. The command of the Lord is pure. So the Bible tells us, what is the word command? I want you to look at the etymology of the word command, because etymology means the root meaning. Where does it come from? Because these words are not just there, we may receive it, we can talk English. But in etymology, the word command starts from the Latin language. And you know that the scriptures were written either in Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. So it comes from the Latin language, and the word command is made out of, is the word commandare. It's almost like Afrikaans, but it's Latin. The word com-com means together or intensively. Mandare, not on Mandarin, but it's mandare. It means to entrust, to order, to commit, but it's derived from the word manus, which means to hand or to give. So when you put it together, it means to give into someone's hands. Get a perspective. When God commands you, to give something into your hands, into your care, into your heed, into your entrustment. So when God gives you a command, if you just receive it as someone speaking, you don't realize the capacity, the value that God has given to you. Something is in the command. To give something in someone's hand. But he's speaking. You got that? The command is he's speaking, but he's putting something in your hand. Oh, you'll get that maybe some of you tomorrow. So he's giving you life, he's giving you multiplication, he's giving you the ability to go in, giving you the ability to possess, but he's giving it through a command. You have to receive. That's why when a command comes, you must receive it, because if he's putting it in your hand, if you don't receive it, you can't have it. You can't hold it, you can't control it, there's no grace in it. So you should be waiting for the command, because he's putting something in your hand. Your hands are empty, don't ask him for money. Oh, you can do that tomorrow. Asking for the command. Why? The command will put something in your hand.
Yeah.
What does the command come? The command is the word of God. The command is Christ. The command is full of grace and
sure.
Money will run out, but you'll have grace that will never run out.
Amen.
So when you know what you're asking for, when you know what he's giving to you, when he's giving you a word, you say, ah, God, but we need you to help us sort out the book. But he gives you a word.
Yes.
You don't know what it is. The game, what is this? Then you will try and quote this person, that person, and you will miss that there's something put in your hand you can't see, but it came through the word. That means it's already in your keep. What you do with it? Oh, I tell you, if you're going to get this today, very important. It enlightens your eye. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the eye, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, how does your eye become good? The commandment is pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. So it brings light to the eye. Light is good. Yes? Matthew 6, 22, Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. What is light? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my feet. And listen, if you get the command of God in lighten your eye, you will be full of light.
Yes.
Full of life. What life? In him, the life that is full of grace and truth. The life that is strong of power. The life with no limitations. All because a command came. You received it, change your sight. Got that? And how do you know someone's sight is changed? Easy. When a blind man is healed, his walk changes. Yeah? Blind man is always leaning on someone. Church, who's my friend? Pastor. I call this friend, Pras. His birthday maybe, but what my name is. Oh, but when you have the commandment of the Lord, you walk and your hands are open.
Yes.
Yeah? Because you receive, now you can freely give.
Yes.
Command. It's pure. But if you don't receive it in that way, you'll miss what it's carrying. You'll miss what it's carrying. You think God is evil. How can God ask us for tithes, offerings, and first fruit? What is wrong with this God? But you're still okay. Because in the Hebrew culture, 12 offerings, 3 tithes. You're giving 1 tithe and say, I'm not even complaining. 3 tithes. 33 1/3%, by the way. 33 1/3%. How many 33? Every command, I come out. So, they had all of that. What was the intention. If you don't see the purity of God, you'll not see He's putting something in your hand.
Yes.
First fruit, you'll never run dry. He will determine your income.
Yes.
It'll always be overflowing.
Yes.
Tithe, God will be faithful to protect whatever comes in.
Yes.
No one will be able to rob you from it. Offerings, you'll get unusual, unexpected breakthroughs. He was not taking away from it. He was giving it to your hand. This is the God we serve. His commandments are not without intent. Or perfect intent. Hard part though. Some of the things we covered, I don't want to go there. I want to go to today's one. For today, I took to you through David, and you know that Jesus is the son of David. The Bible says that Hosanna to the son of David. God is rebuilding the tabernacle of David. But I want to show you that David ruled for 40 years. Is that right? While he was on the throne, he ruled for 40 years. 30 to 79. Yes? Is that maths? All the maths people? All the people with the maths. He ruled for 40 years. But his rule is from generation to generation. That means David is still ruling. He ruled through the seed called Jesus. Jesus is in us. Now God is rebuilding the tabernacle of David. That means God has plans to give you commands which will cause you to completely rule even while you are absent from the end. He built a dynasty, a generation. But what is it he found in? It's found in the command. When he told Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and name on the altar, you would have thought he's taking away. Yeah? But Abraham, at this time, he perceived who God was. He took all and he laid it on the altar. And he received not only the ram was only the replacement. He received the promise in full. He had other sons, and the nations came to him. Now you would have thought that if you didn't know this God, you would have thought he's trying to make you poor. How can God be so good? He gives you a son and he takes it away. No, he gives you something in the command. Now Solomon says something, Proverbs 6:23. If you have the verse, put it on, please. So I'm showing the father, he had one aspect. He said the command is pure. Now the son. Solomon writes, Proverbs 6:20, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. The proofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, yes, Solomon, remember his pedigree. He is now the son who became king. He's the wisest man on the face of the earth. He's the man with a lot of power. Because he got 700 wives, 300 concubines. He's the man with influence. Yesterday we read of how Solomon made silver common. He had so much of wealth that he made it common. This is the man who says, who has power, has authority, has influence, has wives, has children, has rule, and he says that the commandment is left. You want to listen to a man like this who's the wisest of all, who has peace for 40 years in his rule, who's chosen above his father to build a temple. Because he says, it is the commandment that directed his path to become a lamp. Now you know that lamps are not used in the day. Most of you were not born, or born millennials. I don't know if millennials know. You know what a lamp is? That's the other thing I was wrestling with this morning. If I talk to you about a lamp, do you know what a lamp is? Maybe they'll show you pictures. But we have what we call a paraffin lamp. Or you would have a lamp with a base that was round, usually with glass. Put paraffin in there. Have the wick coming through. Is the millennials know? Generation Z? You know what I'm talking about? I was supposed to get a picture to show some of you. I didn't get the picture this morning. Even Google don't have the picture. So you have to fill it in. So the lamp, he's not the light giver. The lamp is the vessel. But a lamp is needed for darkness. A lamp is needed for evening. God caters to the wisdom of Solomon. Commandments usually make no difference when you can see. But commandments are vital for when things are not sure, obscure, hidden. And darkness is all around. So if you don't have the command, and that's when it's most important, because if everything is going well, everything is clear, you don't need a lamp. But it's when you have to walk in darkness, uncertainty, when everything is hidden from you, then the only thing you have is the command, which is a lamp. But let me show you something from the scriptures. So lamps are vessels, resources used to bring light. Brings enlightenment. The first mention of the word lamp, and I want to show you because I wanted to see where lamp was mentioned first, was mentioned in Exodus 27 verse 20. And the Bible says, "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually." So the lamp was found in the lampstand. The Bible is talking about the lampstand, which was found in the tabernacle of Moses. How many of you have heard of the tabernacle of Moses? You heard about it? What is the tabernacle of Moses? Anyone knows?
Lampstand.
No. That was in the tabernacle of Moses. What is the tabernacle of Moses? No, that was the Ark of the Covenant. What is the tabernacle of Moses? Tabernacle firstly means tent. Moses was used because he was the one whom God gave the instruction. But it was actually the church. Right? Literally the church. They had a tent in the wilderness. That was the church building. That's what the tabernacle of Moses was. Now it was structured in a certain way. You had the order of sacrifice. And you came into the holy place. You heard about the holy place? Hey, that's in the tabernacle of Moses, by the way. And you heard of the most holy place? Yeah, that's also in the tabernacle of Moses. So it was divided into three areas. Where you had sacrifice, everyone would come. Holy place, only priests would come. Most holy place, only high priest. But one high priest, once a year. Okay. God was introducing a people who were born in Egyptian culture how to worship Him. So what He did is He took them into a wilderness. Because in Egypt, they had the destruction of Egyptian systems. And Egyptian systems, you had, in Egypt, they had many gods, like I shared with you at the very beginning. And one god was responsible for fertility, one god was responsible for fruitfulness, one god was responsible for the rain, one god was responsible for wealth. So they had many gods. So it took them into the wilderness to reorient them. But the center of the range, so they would have 12 tribes, God would arrange them on the east, west, or north, along the south, but at the center of everything was the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was to show them that your constitution as a nation was dependent on how you worship God. Okay? The centrality of your existence, your dominion, your entry into the promises, was dependent on how you were able to worship God. Now, even in worshiping God, there were commands. And this was what a nation was coming out of an Egyptian system. We live in a different day. Tabernacle of David has been what God is installing. But I'm showing you in the Old Testament that the lamp we're talking about, Moses is talking about, Solomon is talking about commands. He's a king in Israel. The same Israel that was in the wilderness being constituted. They had to learn about worshipping God and the way God introduced them. Trying to bring them also how you could associate with them. Now, the lampstand was in the second part, and the second part was called the most holy place. We usually say that that is consistent with apostolic culture. You have the table of showbread there, which represents the apostles' doctrine. The bread was together on the table, which speaks about fellowship. Then you have the breaking of bread, which was also in that location. And then you have the lampstand there. The lampstand was also a picture of light, which is the word of God. But he showed you doctrine, fellowship, bringing of bread, and just before you entered into the most holy place, not before you entered, yes, there was the altar of incense. Also, the incense for both prayers. But we're dealing with the lampstand. You ever say lampstand?
Lampstand.
So, when it comes to the lamp, and the commandment is the lamp, what needed to light the lamp was oil. Okay? And God commanded that the oil had to be from pressed olives. And the oil, the Bible would call it, it's saying it would be pure. Okay, pure. Now you know that oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. We've used that many times. You know that you are the temple of the living God. Yes? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, very important feature here that the lamp that required the oil, the pure oil, Dr. Gupta has a book on the oils, anointing oils, but when you look at the pure oil, it had to be oil that was put under consistent pressure. So you take ripe olives, and you'd have pressure squeezing on it. And as it would squeeze, the oil would come out. Pressure, consistent pressure, as it was put in, more and more the oil came. That was the oil you wanted. That was the oil that gave light. Now, why was this important? Because the only form of light in the tabernacle of Moses was the lampstand. There was no windows, like how we got windows here. Everything was in animal skin. It was solidly dark. If you didn't have the lampstand, you couldn't enter. You would knock over things. So the only form of light was the lampstand. You see, when Jesus is Lord of our life, when He rules over you, the only form of light you must have in you is the command of God, which is the Word. Every other form of light must be shut off. That's the way the temple was designed. The nation would wonder why it was pitch dark. Because you're showing them how thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when you follow the command, what did it lead you to? It led you to the place called the most holy place, which was access to the presence of God. But how did it come? It came through commandment. And that command was fueled by the Spirit and anointing. The anointing called pure oil. That oil is derived from pressings in your life. When you are squeezed, when things come tight and difficult, that's the anointing that comes out of you to help you produce this light. That's when the command becomes effective in your life. Remember Jesus, His greatest test was like we heard this morning, when He was taken into the wilderness. 40 days, the devil didn't come before He started the 40-day fast. That's why we tell you, if you're going to start your 40-day fast, on the 40th day, don't get surprised when the devil comes visiting. Yeah? And the devil can come in many forms. I remember fasting for many times. You get in the last day, someone just irritates you and you lose everything. Because you're punishing yourself. But on the last day, the devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God, that fasting is useless if you don't know your identity. If you don't know you're the Son of God, whatever you're doing is as a beggar. A Son of God fasts differently. Why did he fast? Because he was led by the Spirit. That's why. Not because it was January and everybody did bad things, and so we must all fast so that we can be cleansed. Not because it was December and everyone ate so much prawns, we need to get the cholesterol down. And you want Daniel fast. Because you want to get vegetables into your system. Because all December, chicken meat, chicken meat, chicken meat. No, you fast because the Spirit. Yeah. But what's He leading you for? He's leading you so that you can have an encounter to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes. So everyone say pressing.
Pressing.
How many of you got pressed recently? How many of you are getting pressed now? What's the intention of it? That you might live by every command. Your pressing is not accidental. In our house it's going to be intensified. And now it's coming. It's coming slowly, it's pushing more and more. So it's not over. Tell your name, it's not over. No, the pressing, the intensity, the difficulty is all up there because it's about to produce a pure oil.
Yes.
An anointing you have not known, not your spirit. An anointing, an ability, a blessing that comes through the Holy Spirit, but it only comes through pressure. So what the pressure must do, you must remember you're in the temple. You are the temple. Let the command remain in you.
Yes.
Let the command be your light to guide you. When your stomach is making gurgur, good, man shall not live by
bread alone.
When you're tempted to go to the highest place, put your God on test, show us. When you're tempted by the worldly things, no, no, no. Know how to answer by what is written.
Yes.
Because the pressure is coming. For what? To produce a light. A substance, an anointing that brings light, that emanates life. You see, the Bible says that you might live. The life doesn't come from outside. Everyone say pressure.
Pressure.
A tablet's for pressure. But now you've been pressed. If you know what we are saying, then your pressing doesn't become a burden. Are you listening? Listen carefully. If you understand what I'm saying now, that the pressing is to produce an oil, a pure oil. What's the purity? Last week, the commandment is pure. If the pressing is to produce pure oil, that means it is to produce the command. You answer by what is written. You got that? Come on. That gives birth to the light in the temple. Your temple comes alive. Your temple is filled with life. Everything that is evil, uncertain, unsure, diminishes. Simply because through the pressing, there's a production of an oil that cannot be contaminated. The Holy Spirit revives you in such a way, nothing can take that life away. You got that? You want to say pressing?
Pressing.
Ah, for pressing, you must press in. Yeah? Every time you're getting pressed, don't lash out. Press in to God. Press in to the Word. Make the Lord your stand. Because you know what the intention is. What is the commandment? Listen, he put something in your hand. Isn't it? Yes, when the command came, in the time of pressing, he's putting something in your hand. That means he's giving you power, giving you grace. Because the hand speaks about authority, power, grace, ability. But it is in the pressing. It is when the people, your friends, are rising up against you. Work is not going the way you thought it would. What is supposed to be your response? Command them. Command them. What is the command? So, pressing oil, pressed oil. Pressed oil is accessed this place through the pressing of the olives. But do you know that this pressed oil speaks about death to your own will? Let me show you the Bible. There's a place called Gethsemane. How many of you know about Gethsemane? There's a place Jesus got pressed. It's called Olive Press. You got it? How many of you know what happened in Gethsemane? That Gethsemane took place there. But how many of you know what happened in Gethsemane? Jesus sweat turned into drops of blood. In Gethsemane, Judas kissed him. He was arrested in Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, he said, Lord, Father, not my will. So the pressing, your Gethsemane, is a dying to your will. So that his will. Okay? You're going through the tough times not because God hates you. No, he wants you to abandon your will.
Yes.
Abandon it. Don't say, no, we can negotiate, we can make a plan. No, if he told you, this is the place now, because I'm going to produce an oil in you that produces a life that is not known. It is the life, it is the only light in the temple. It's not sustained by the sun, moon, and stars. This is another kind of light that brings a life, a dimension of the spiritual, this fire. You've got to go through the sustained pressing. It's not forever. But hey, ask Jesus in Gethsemane. 3 hours of praying. One word in here, one line in here. Father, take this cup away from me. Not my will. 3 hours of turmoil, of travail. And every time he went with that three fellows, he took back. Peter, James, and John. Huh? He left them like how a pastor takes some people with him. He said, yeah, just wait here, I'm going to pray. I don't even think, for me, in my mind, is that he went down the hall and he left the fellows there. For 1 hour, he's praying, he's struggling. But you can't blame him, it was dark, right? So maybe they couldn't see what he was doing. He came back, he said, hey, 1 hour, I'm in my deepest pain. You couldn't stay 1 hour away. He's sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord. Then when you pray in the evening, then you say, Lord Jesus. Like, oh no, he knows our thoughts and our heart. And then he comes 3 times. It's the most painful time in his life. Here's the thing. You're going through pressing. You get 7 years. You're abandoned of your work. Even those you count it off. They'll be put at the deep sleep. Because it's not their cup. It's your cup. You got that? Don't get upset with people because they were not there in the time of need. Now God sent the spirit of sleep over. Because he was dealing with you. Lots of people miss this. They get so caught up in the church, in the relationships. They don't know that your greatest relationship is God alone. Yeah, you can have a spiritual father, pastor. What about your God's? And when he puts you to the pressing, sometimes even your wife is sleeping like she's dead. Saying, look at this thing, not even bothered to pray. Your husband is snoring louder than you are praying. You're competing with his snoring. I need to tell you now, I was saying amen. Then you say, look at this man, he's not even concerned about my pain. No, no, no. That's your concern. That's your Gethsemane. Yes, we're husband and wife, but there's a moment where God takes you. Notice he didn't tell Abraham and Sarah, he told Abraham.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how Sarah would be, but I know this was harder for Abraham. Because God told Abraham, he said, you go. Don't look for people in your time of Gethsemane.
Yeah. Amen.
You have him. Yeah, leave your husband, leave your wife. Leave your parents. Don't say, oh, my parents don't even know. No. You got to know the God of your father.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, your pressing is for you. It's for you.
Yeah.
You want this thing. You want to push through.
Yes.
No, you don't know how times then those days. And they didn't have like a street lamps. They didn't have nice pathways. You were in the dark, my friend. Your tears was yours alone. Jesus said this. He said, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. This is the Son of God. This is the life giver. This is the Savior of the world. He's saying, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. He said, to the point of death, I feel like dying. That's what he said. The place of his presence. But it is to produce a oil, kind of life, standard of life. What is the will of God? Now, you must know this, right? Let me just give you this. So the extreme pressure is to decide where to place this. My will of his will. Now, many people in the time of the extreme pressure, they go ask someone else. Because they want someone to validate their position. You need to be very careful. Most people in the time of great crisis never ask the pastor. You know that? They'll go to their spouse, they'll go to someone who they think understands. Because they know what the answer is going to be. They don't want to hear that answer. But what you do is, you bypass the process. But the moment you go past, you have to come back around. Why? You're not moving to the next level until everything in this level is good. What's God doing through the commandment? Commandment is a lamp. He's putting something in your hand. Putting something in your hand. Why? It's got rule for you. You say, but Pastor, what you mean something? Moses, he went to the backside of the wilderness. He had a shepherd's staff. For 40 years, he followed the sheep, led them, goats, cattle. 40 years. That staff was just a stick he stood on. Represented his joy. But when he had an encounter with God, God told him, So that's the crown of God. It became the instrument through which God demonstrated. It was in your hand for 40 years. But at the command, you now know what the potential is. It is the same God that delivered a nation out of captivity and bondage, which was in there for 430 years. Sometimes you think God is doing too long, taking too long. But Moses was had to be subject to giving up his own will for that job, that task, that call which he had. Don't despise what is in your hand. God's putting something in your hand. Deliverance of nations are dependent. What is the command? The command is to give you light. It's a lamp to show you, hey, something is in your hand. It's a tool of deliverance. It's a tool of grace. It's a tool that can build the ark, that can save an entire nation, entire world. The sword of Gideon was in his hand. Mighty man of valor. But what does the lamp, what does the command? God brings the illumination. Something is in your hand. Can you see it? Can you see it? Oh, he doesn't give a command for nothing. He never gives a command. So let me just take you a couple of minutes. Command is the lamp. Then the Bible says that in Exodus 27 verse 21, in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil which was before the testament, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening till morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever and ever. Aaron and his sons were the high priest and Lord in the nation. You see, when the command of God comes to you, to take care of it, to tend it, means that you rise up into your high priestly calling. Are you with me? High priests are the only one who could access the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord, manifest presence. When you understand the command of God, and you take care of it, you keep it, you guard it, you step into your role of walking and living from the presence of God. Oh, your presence of God. You have access to His presence. The Bible says, the word that tend means to put it in order. It means to arrange it, keep it. The command is now prioritized. It is set in order. It is given precedence over everything else. Commandments come with a deep responsibility. Sons of God who are the firstborn carry the responsibility to keep the command of the Lord. What is the command of the Lord according to what we spoke? It is the will of God. Carry a deep responsibility to keep the will of God in every environment you go into. This is when you come into your high priestly status. You know that whatever the will, whatever the command is, it is before whatever I feel. Whatever I need to do stops because the command is above that. This is you and I entering into the high priestly state. People think we are mad. It's not about God who understands if you do it better. No, but for the high priest, he understood this is your tending. You must keep this. You step into that role. You move up higher when the command comes. And for you, it becomes your priority. Because for you, it is the will of God. And what is the will of God? Jesus in Matthew 6, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You step into a high priestly role, but according to the command, heaven, the kingdom of heaven comes to earth. That's what you do. Manifesting. This is what Samuel said, what David said in Samuel chapter 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29 to 31. For you are my lamp, O Lord. Command is the lamp. Solomon says it. David says this. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. So the command is not disconnected from the commander. It's like the centurion said, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. What was he saying? That your word is equal to your presence. Solomon says that the word is, the commandment is the lamp. Then now, David is saying, you are my lamp. You are my blessing. You are my righteousness. You are my Lord. You are my King. And he says, the Lord shall enlighten my darkness. Here's the thing that got me. He says in verse number 30, for by you I can run against the truth. You see, when the command becomes the Lord in your life becomes supreme, becomes sovereign, because the Lord, you know, the Lordship of God is about His supremacy, sovereignty. Guess what happens to you? You can start running against the truth. That means numbers don't affect you. When you talk about truth, you talk about an army. When the command becomes for you the sovereign will of God, the supreme will of God, you can start running at accelerated rates against people that come against you. Oh, you'll get that tomorrow. The command is higher than people's thoughts, their impressions, their opinions. David said, I only needed your command because, Lord, you are my lamb. Now, the command is the lamb, but you are my lamb. When that thing comes on, I don't need anything else because I can run against anything. Then he says, that means acceleration you get, and then you have this boldness that comes upon you. Then he says, for by you I can, is this by you? By my God I can leap over a wall. Some of you can't jump over the fence. But when you have the command of the Lord, it empowers you to jump over obstacles, barriers, restrictions, limitations. You no longer have to break down, you can jump over. That means there's a vitality of life. You're not just running and jumping, it's life. It's life, it's an ability, momentum, movement. This is what's connected to the word of God. When he gives you a command, that means there's speed, acceleration, vitality. Yeah? For by you, Lord, you are my lamb. I can run against the truth. By my God, I can lean over walls. Listen to what he said. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. Last one. He is a shield to all who trust. Listen, the reason why you and I can take the law, the lamb of God, the command of God, because we trust him. That's why you will just take it and it will become your priority. It will be, you'll drop everything else for the command of God because you trust him. You know all the facts. And earthly, on the earth, facts make a difference because you know everything is happening. But his word superimposes it. You know what that does? It makes you run against leap over. What's the only thing you got? He says, because you are my shield. Huh? So you're not carrying a shield when you're running against the truth, because he goes before you. Got it? Oh, I pray this morning you get it, right? Because the command of the Lord must light your heart. Yes. It must be able to illuminate your heart to know now, hey, God is instructing you not for nothing. Yes. He's putting something in your hand. You discover it as the command is prioritized. Yes. As he's set in place, you'll start to see it. But you'll see the combination of a father and a son who are able to say, one is saying it is pure. Because it is pure, the son says, it's my lamb. This is how wisdom is magnified. David is wise, Solomon is wiser. David is rich, Solomon is wiser and richer. David accomplishes many things, Solomon accomplishes more. Yes. Why? Because it shifts from just being pure to being my lamb. And our father and son are in agreement with the commandment of the Lord. This is our way. Brother? Amen. I think we'll stop there today. Okay, now. You want to start living this life, the fullness of life. Embrace your presence. Yeah? And here's the thing. When you go into the presence, listen for the command. Because he's going to tell you some stuff when it is getting very tough. He's going to tell you to do some stuff. He'll tell you to give when you don't have to give. Tell you to go, be there when you're coming upon you. Why? Because the pressing is dying to your will. For his will, he got all the supply. You don't have to supply. He supplies.